Welcome to Wednesday night at the new International Bookshop program. As some of the habitués among you know, this is a program that runs here in the Trades Hall every Wednesday, week in, week out, and we're now in the fifth consecutive year of it. This is our opportunity to raise important issues of public policy, important issues of current affairs, and keep the flame of public political dialogue alight in our community. And I want to say two things before introducing Gareth Evans to you tonight. First is to pay a tribute and a word of heartfelt thanks to the organiser of tonight's event, Gail Russell, whose flair, inspiration and hard work has brought you all together here for this very nearly full house attendance. Secondly, I'd like to say a word of thanks to some of the organisations who've spread the word on behalf of this event. The Fabian Society does look always for opportunities to network with like-minded organisations, and this has been in many ways a copybook example of the usefulness of that sort of networking. I could go on with a considerable list, but I'd like to mention in particular the United Nations Association of Australia, who's worked with Gail Russell on this, Liberty Victoria, DFAT in Victoria, the Law Institute, and Melbourne, Swinburne, and Monash universities. Working together, we can do a lot more of this. We can build it bigger, and we hope we'll have your support in making that happen. But it's particularly welcome tonight to be able to welcome back to this platform a very long-standing member of the Australian Fabian Society in Gareth Evans, one of the truly great contributors to Australian political life and to the international stage. I'm reminded that I first shared a platform with him in 1974 at Warrandyte when we were fending off the first deferral of supply against the Whitlam government, and he was having his first run as a candidate for Parliament. Consider the spectacular record that has followed from that modest start beside the upper reaches of the River Yarra back in 1974. A distinguished ministerial career, particularly a distinguished long-serving Minister for Foreign Affairs, a record on the international stage rivaled, I suspect, only by that of Dr. Evatt from Australia, and a continuing contribution in his current capacity as Director of the International Crisis Centre. But most recently, one of those who have laboured mightily to define the nature of United Nations reform, what should be in it, how it might be made to happen in the face of the resolute apathy that we have seen demonstrated in recent weeks. Let me, without further ado, introduce Gareth Evans.
Well, thanks to you, Race, for that very generous introduction, and congratulations to you for the magnificent job you've done in holding together and promoting and further advancing the role of the Fabian Society amid all the rest of the intellectual wreckage of the Labour movement. It's lovely to have at least one flame still visibly alight. I have to say it's a pretty disconcerting experience, actually, to be back in this hall, the scene of some pre-selection triumphs, but also one or two disasters, and some faces around the hall that perpetrated both, actually, over those years. But for someone who has thought of himself as very much, I suppose, in the has-been role. It's rather touching to be back here and see such a generous turnout on this occasion. So nice to be here, and let's talk about the United Nations. Well, no organisation in the world, I think, embodies as many dreams and yet delivers as many frustrations as the United Nations. Nothing could be nobler or more moving than in stated goals, not only to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, but also to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights and to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom. And I guess nothing could be more central to the Australian Labor Party's traditional values, if we can remember them anymore, than the concept of a rule-based international order in which decisions about war and peace are made collectively rather than unilaterally by a fully empowered and appropriately representative Security Council, where global norms are set and treaties are negotiated by a General Assembly and Economic and Social Council in which all the nations of the world participate on an equal footing. An order in which poverty and hunger and disease and all the other threats that make the lives of so many people around the world shorter or more miserable are dealt with effectively by multilateral agencies operating in a spirit of cooperative internationalism, and where the role and influence of individual countries is not primarily a function of their military or economic might, but rather the commitment and creativity and energy and stamina that they bring to the resolution of problems. But that said, it's only, we have to acknowledge, sporadically and very erratically that the United Nations has been the central actor, or even the central stage. The intriguing thing, of course, about the UN is that it is both actor and stage in world affairs. It's only very sporadically and erratically that the UN has been the central actor or stage in advancing and achieving these various objectives. For most of its history, the Security Council has been a prisoner of great power manoeuvring, the General Assembly a theatre for empty rhetoric, the Economics and Social Council a dysfunctional irrelevance, and the Secretariat of the UN, for all the dedication and brilliance of a host of individuals, alarmingly inefficient.